Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last, but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. Enjoy.
Yes, Lord. Take your position indeed, Lord. Reign. Be the Lord of our lives, be the King of our lives. Take your position, Lord. Reign. Reign, Lord, reign. Reign in this place, reign in our lives, reign in the neighborhood, reign in this city, reign in this town, reign in this province, reign in this country, reign on this continent, reign in this world. Reign, Lord, reign. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. Worshipers, thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Greet your neighbor. Good morning. Say, you look better than last time I saw you. We are making progress. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of God today? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you happy to see me, or I'm the only one happy to see you? You're also happy to see me. Hallelujah. Amen. In the week, during our week services, I want to encourage you, those who can, please attend our services. Hallelujah. There's something that's happening there that's very special. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say neighbor, do something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm going to really share a little bit about what I shared, but I just want to continue from there. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll just build on that. Amen. And on Wednesday, I said to them that during the week, I think it was around Tuesday night, I had about Tuesday night, suddenly I started thinking about King Solomon. King Solomon came heavily in my spirit. And what was concerning me was his way about right now. Is he in heaven or is he in hell? Somehow, suddenly, I started thinking about King Solomon. Is King Solomon in hell or is King Solomon? I got concerned about King Solomon. Pella, I have to, because this is the man who wrote some of the books we are reading about. He has given us great stories. Hallelujah. This is the man who prayed for wisdom. Who chose wisdom and God gave him wisdom. And we saw what he has done with that wisdom. Even today, there is no man alive who has matched the wisdom of Solomon. None, before and after, none. Maybe Adam. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
He had great wisdom. Hallelujah. This is the man who once prayed. When he was dedicating the temple, the glory of God came down. It filled the temple. No one could even minister. It was so thick, the smoke. And I would say, Lord, did this man make it to heaven? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the following day on YouTube, somebody spoke about dying and going to heaven, and he was shown hell. And he says King Solomon was in hell. And I said, wow, how come I think about him, about the same issue the day before, and I get, it must be the answer. Because just the following day, somebody gives a testimony of this person being in hell, and he saw King Solomon. Hallelujah. Now, whether or not you believe these stories, it's another thing. Anyway, it's another thing. But Solomon apparently was even expected in heaven, because some people say that even in heaven, there's a place that was prepared for him. It's like a palace. Because the way that man was going to live, I don't know, in heaven was something. But that place, they say, is empty. And I got concerned about myself. I got concerned about if King Solomon did not make it. Ask your neighbor, have you ever prayed and God came down in smoke? What is your neighbor saying? Did you ever pray and God came like in smoke? Has God ever visited you and say, choose, what must I do for you? Did God ever come to you? Ask your neighbor. Did he ever come to you and visit you and say, look, I want you to choose what you want me to do for you? Anything you want. Eh? No, isn't it? And this man, God visited and he chose wisdom. Amen. And God was proud of his choice. Hey, by the way, some of us would have disappointed God, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Some of us would have definitely said, oh, this is time to catch up in life. Hallelujah. You would even say, wait, God, wait. I know, wait, I don't want to rush this. Let me pull out my pen. And I want to make sure I don't leave anything out. Hallelujah. But Solomon, this is the man who chose wisdom. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? And God was impressed. And is this man in hell? Of course, that's not far from truth, because the Bible is very clear that God is not a favor of any man. And your past performance is no proof of your future. It makes one wonder. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
When you look at the story of Solomon in the book of, First Kings, chapter 11. It's First Kings chapter 11. We can start from verse 1. We'll see down there. Hallelujah. Are you in the house of God?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, will you make it to heaven? Now, if Jesus, like now, Ratzamaya now, okay, from church, it would be a nice place to live from, isn't it? From church on a Sunday. Those who miss church, I don't know. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, if Jesus came now, are we going or what? Are you even sure? Are you even sure? Because we will see even what Apostle says about this very thing. Amen? Do you love Jesus Christ? Let us quickly look at the life of King Solomon. Hallelujah. Read.
1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1.
Uh-huh.
Now King Solomon loved many foreign women.
Yeah.
Along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women.
He loved many foreign women, and we also saw that other translation will say strange women. Amen. A strange women. A foreign. Amen. Look at the neighbor. The things we love, even God called them strange. Are you here?
Amen.
Say, neighbor, forget about the wives. I'm just saying the things we love. They don't have to be women. Some of us, we look at Solomon and say, Solomon rata basadi, we're now rata ing. Can you ask your neighbor, utanda anwena, what do you love? You, what do you love? You say, Solomon loved women. Okay, fine. That story we know. What do you love? That is recorded in the Bible, but yours, which still remain a secret, what do you love? And those things They even shocked God. It caused them strange. It looks like God would understand if we loved at certain things. But there are things he called even strange. God looks at you and says, what is this? What is this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are things the Bible says they are not even to be mentioned amongst you. Because they are strange. But they have been mentioned today. Things have been mentioned. Things have been mentioned. Strange things, we see them. But then we look at Solomon and say, oh, Solomon, 700 was not enough. My question to you, let's count things in your life. Let's count them. If you see, let's see if you cannot get to 700. And with parcela 300. The things that God doesn't want to see in your life. Let's see if we cannot count. Because God, the issue was not really women. It was the heart that was removed from God. It's very clear there what he's saying. That's why he didn't say women. He says strange women. There are strange things that are going to steal our heart. That are going to take us away from God. When he looks at them, he says, oh my God. Now let's read.
Verse 2.
Women
from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them.
Yes.
Nor shall they associate with you.
Now, people of God, there are things that the word of God clearly say we must not do. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you 100% compliant when it comes to the Bible? Are you 100% compliant? Or you're lucky? No, let's be honest. Are you 100% like compliant? Every word that is in the Bible? No. Partially compliant. You are trying. And God judges us or evaluates us or assesses us according to how much we are obedient to the word. Obedience, you can think, you can even call it compliance. To what extent do we comply to his word? Forget Solomon. Say, neighbor, forget Solomon. For God, it was about this. He said to him, listen to him. Listen to this, what he told him. In the word of God, in the law, what the law said. Okay, continue reading. Read it again.
Verse 2. Women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel.
The Lord said to them, which is the word of God. Which is what? The word of God. The word of God has spoken concerning women, foreign women. Continue.
You shall not associate with them.
You shall not associate with them.
Nor shall they associate with you.
No relationship. Continue reading.
For they will surely turn your heart away after their gods.
Did you hear that? God is concerned about things that are going to turn your heart away. It does not have to be women. So people are turned away by many things, strange things.
Strange things. That's right.
Hello, are you hearing me?
Amen.
The things that turn, and God, when God knows the things that will take your heart away, and they're all in the word of God, don't do this, do this, don't do, stay away from this. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Solomon did the opposite. Continue reading.
For Solomon held fast to these in love.
Yes.
Verse 3.
He hold fast to these things in what? In love. Are you here, children of God? Are you here?
Yes.
So can Solomon held on what? Fast to them. On Adira than Tutsi. You know, people of God, now and then I get surprised when I come across believers who still do things that I don't expect them to do. Hello? Are you hearing me? When you sit under these teachings, there are certain things are just a no-no. Amen? Hallelujah. I think one day, I want to do this. I want to advertise that I'm a sangoma somewhere. Okay. Someplace and say I'm a sangoma. I don't say who I am. I don't show my face. I'm just saying, so I want to see who's going to come. I want to see, and I don't know what will happen if you find me in there. Are you going to say, oh, Apostle? Or what are you going to say? The places we go to shock me sometimes. I say, what happens to the things we teach? Do they bounce off? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, if you are sitting every Sunday under this ministry, hi man, who are pay you, man, you get cooked. When you come here, you are well done, like steak. Are you hearing me? And then when I hear something, I say, oh, what are we doing? How can be people tempted to that level? You know, there's one thing that I speak like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what I say? I say, this God will deliver me from this fire. But let it be known that even if he doesn't, the devil is not an alternative. Amen. Could I tell him, or even if in the end there is no God, you'll never be my God. That is settled in my spirit, in my mind. Even when he's fighting me, his aim is not to convert me. No, it's just to take me out. It's not to convert. I'm not convertible. I'll never go to his places. I'll never. Amen. To ask help from him. Amen. Never. Amen. If this God does not help me, no one will help me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let it be known to Nebuchadnezzar that even if he does not come, will not bow. Not bow. You know, some Christians is like, oh, okay, backup solutions, alternative solutions. But yet we look at Solomon and say, oh, Solomon. Hello. Ask your neighbor, you are on wife number what? Foreign. Strange things. The things we love, we don't even see that we are wrong. We hold on to them for dear life. We love them. Se ne ba ke a bona we put ile mona we kentse mzalwane. I'm telling you, I wanna act sangoma one day. I wanna act sangoma, and advertise there. Hallelujah! I'll help you with many things. I'll help you with tokolosi. I'll help you with our international viewers. What is sangoma in English? Traditional healer or a witch? Witch doctor? Is it a witch doctor? Is it which doctor or is it a traditional healer? Which one? Or is it which? What is it? They are called witch doctors. Okay, there you are. They are witch doctors. Hallelujah. So, if I want to see some people, I don't even pray God reveal them. No, I just put up something. Like advertise witch doctor. I know people are gonna come. I pray it's not one of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because I'm sure that's the last time I'll be seeing you. You will never come to church again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Do you love Jesus Christ? So, God said, the things that I had told them that they must not do, Solomon is doing. Solomon is what? Solomon is what? Solomon is doing. Continue reading.
Verse 3.
Uh-huh.
He had 700 wives,
uh-huh,
princesses,
yes,
and 300 concubines.
Uh-huh.
And his wives turned his heart away.
And his wife turns what? And his what turned his heart away are these wives, these foreign women, these strange women. Strange things in your life, things God calls strange, they will turn your heart away. Amen. Hallelujah. Continue reading.
Verse 4.
Uh-huh.
For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, uh-huh, as the heart of David his father had been.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says that Solomon was not like David. His heart was turned away. Amen? His heart was what? Was turned away at some point. By what? Can we read that again? Can you read that again?
For when Solomon was old,
uh-huh,
his wives turned his heart away after other gods.
Now, when Solomon was old, amen? You don't want to mess up when you're old. Tell him you don't want to mess up. You don't want to lose it when you're old. If you're going to mess up things, it'll rather be early, if ever. But if you're old, I mean, you are like almost here. But there was no hope for this man. Amen? He was old. No wonder we are seeing and hearing the things about him. I told you, I didn't even plan to think about Solomon, but it just came to my spirit. And then the next day, I get the answer. I think it's the answer. What do you think? I think it's the answer. Show me where it is. And when I look at the scriptures and I see that even towards the end of his life, he was unrepentant. He was unrepentant. I mean, that humbles us. That humbles you. You know, sometimes we Christians, we live like we are entitled to heaven. It's like we walk around with an entitlement that says, I am a property of heaven. And it can never change. Are you in the house? Some of us walk like that, like we carry a title. Yes, we do in the sense that we are children of God. But that doesn't guarantee us entry. Listen, salvation qualifies you, but doesn't guarantee entrance. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can really carry what this ticket when you get there, but no, it's closed. But you had a ticket which qualified you to enter. But when you get there, they say, okay, no, we are full. Or expired. They say expired. I didn't know about that one. Amen. So you see, salvation is like that ticket to heaven. But you still have to go there and show your ticket. Our journey as a Christian is unique. It's different from the rest of the world. Tell your neighbor, salvation qualifies you for heaven, but doesn't guarantee entrance. Can I say that again? Somebody, until somebody hears this. Salvation. Tell them about salvation. Say you are saved. You are not to be on salvation. But so salvation, what does it do? It qualifies you for what? It qualifies you for heaven. But does not do what? Does not guarantee entrance. We'll see today because many, many, many people will say, Lord, Lord, will not see it, will not enter. Why? Because as much as you say the Lord is, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. But more often than not, it's just a ventilation. It's just a proclamation. But there is no life that backs it. It's just noise. There's no life that backs what you're saying. That's what the Bible says. Those that say, many who say, Lord, 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 they are just saying Lord, Lord, but he's not their Lord. In other words, you can say, Jesus Christ, you are Lord, with your mouth. You can even sing it, but your life can deny him. So salvation will put you in the group of those that are on the journey to heaven. But that's not all. Still need to work hard. Say neighbor, Christianity is hard work. Let me tell you this. Everything in this world, if you just follow it, you'll end in hell. The world is designed in such a way that you flow easily without thinking to hell. So that's why a life of a Christian is a life of a no. All the time. The world is like the world is like a river that goes downstream. Everything that happens in the world is easy. If you do what? If you follow. Just get into the boat. You don't have to do anything. Just let it go. That's life in the world. But if you are a Christian, you have to understand you're going to swim up. You're going to swim upstream. Look at your neighbor. Christianity is not easy. Never. I know sometimes when you talk about Christians, you got like, hey, you got to talk more than Leon. It's like Rishaw. Forget it. Forget it. That's what the Bible says. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Which is that salvation is the next one. We are waiting for the next one, which is entrance. Fear and trembling. Okay, are you already enough with the preaching? Are you okay? It's like now you go and now soak. Are you here? Look at your neighbor. Say neighbor, please. Kampa wa sala. You don't stay behind. Hallelujah. It's hard work. We've made it very much fashionable. Amen. People have come into the church with all their things. You can see them on social media after church. So, were they in church? This was? Because this is after church. Our churches is like, come as you are and remain as you are. We think lifting up your hands on Sunday to say, I accept Jesus is all that you need to do. You know that people who think like that, that after they've said, Jesus, you are my Lord, that's it. Hard work begins. With fear and work it. Look at it, work it. When I saw that Solomon is possibly in hell, it got me worried. So who am I? Who am I? The same standard he used for Solomon, he's going to use it against me. He's going to use it. So if you think your righteousness is not more than the righteousness of those that are in the Old Testament, you are in trouble. Hello? And now you are still in the house. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm worried. I got to be worried now. Unless your righteousness exceeds those, you are in trouble. Hello? to love Jesus Christ. So remember, salvation gives you what? Authority. Okay, it gives you permission. It gives you what? It guarantees what? It doesn't guarantee anything, but it gives you what? It qualifies you to enter. But work hard to enter. Look at him and say, but work hard to enter.
Work hard to enter.
Hallelujah. The way we are advertising prosperity and many other things, people even get born again for them. They get born again for these things that we market. We don't market holiness anymore. It doesn't pay. It will not bring you members in the church. It will not make you popular. People want to live their lives. They want to swim downstream. Christianity is going to tell you to swim upstream. I'm telling you, if it's not, then you're on the wrong trip. You're going the opposite. If everything says yes in your life, tell your neighbor, say you are swimming downstream. Hallelujah. Congratulations to those that are every time, every turn is a struggle. I say congratulations. Hallelujah. Because this world is set up for that. For those that are worldly. They don't have to do anything. They just get in. And they don't even have to swim. They just go. They float. Hallelujah. When I see you floating, we swim against the current. Upstream is your life. For your life is up there, it's not down there.
Amen.
Are you in the house of God?
Amen.
It gets me worried. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, yes. Chapter 9, verse 27, yes. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Read it for me.
First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27.
Uh-huh. Yes, read it.
But I discipline my body
uh-huh.
and make it my slave.
Yes.
So that after I have preached to others,
hey.
I myself will not be disqualified.
Ah, please. Are you listening to this? What is Paul saying? I beat my body. Say, we're not neighbor. We throw it, fella. You don't beat yourself. You're just like relaxed. We're cruising. People are beating their body. The person who wrote scriptures that we are reading is beating himself. Can I go preach somewhere else? I'm saying the person who wrote these scriptures, he's worried himself. He wrote the most of the New Testament. Most of it was this man. But he's still worried too. How come you're not worried? Look at that. How come you're not worried too? When you're worried nothing. When you have made it to heaven, when already heaven is waiting for you. Serious. Paul says, I beat my body. Other translations say, I buffet my body. I beat it. In other words, I subdue it. I bring it under my control. You see, desires of this world, the things of the, you know, the world entices us through desires. And when you follow them, you just go downstream. Amen? But you need to tell your body every time, beat it and say, we are not going that way. Every time, arimo. It's not nice. Have you ever beaten your body? Ask your neighbor, have you ever beaten your body? Have you ever boxed yourself? Some people love themselves too much. Oh. You must give yourself a blue eye one day. In fact, this is what the translation says, isn't it? The Greek translation, saying, what does it say? That Greek word. Listen to the Greek word. Listen to the Greek word there.
Hypopiazo.
Huh? Hypopiazo.
Hypopiazo.
Did you hear that? She even gave you the spelling. Hypopiazo. Huh? Now, what is his popiazo?
To beat black and blue.
To beat what? Ask your neighbor, have you ever given yourself a blue eye? You love yourself too much. That's the problem. Hallelujah. I'm going to clap because we clap. If you think it's not enough, call your neighbor. Please come here. Please, do something and be generous. This body needs to be beaten up. Hallelujah. Are you here? Look at this. This is like you love yourself too much. Heaven is at risk. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul, not having done anything wrong, he's worried. But still we are not worried. We just think we can't come here and say, sorry, Lord, sorry, Jesus. Hey, sorry, my man. I'll try better next time. You have made Jesus your friend, though. Are you in the house of God?
Amen.
While I'm cruising. Christianity is not for cruising. Never. Because we've made the flesh so comfortable. Beat this flesh. Beat this flesh. You know, people of God, I was watching this on the other, on YouTube the other day, and this woman was saying, you know, he was encouraging me, I think. I said, you pastors with 64 members, please just make sure you take your members to heaven. I said, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Stop wanting all these mega churches with people who go to hell. See, it's not about the numbers, it's about what you do with what you have. Amen. And I said, wow. Amen. I said, wow. Amen. My responsibility is to make sure you get to heaven. Amen. My focus, well, it's nice to have a big church. It's nice. Who does not want a big church? But hey, what's the point of it? And remember, one of my famous saying is that I would rather be a pastor over 5 people who go to heaven than 1 million going to hell. Remember that? It's everywhere in Facebook for many years. Over 15 years I've said that. That's my belief. That's my philosophy in life. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I'm concerned about myself. You better be concerned about yourself. I don't want to miss heaven. I must just go beat myself more. But sometimes, well, I've not. Sometimes I clap a qua. Give me keep on clap a lunge. Are you in the house of God?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, neighbor, go clap yourself, please. Hard. Leave your face red over something you have done. Even if you have done nothing, I was just checking. Do you love Jesus so?
Amen.
Paul says, I box myself. I box myself. Go, let's go box ourselves. Hallelujah. Subdue. Amen. You know, I said this on Wednesday that one of the things that you must know is that when Paul says, I clap myself, he's, you know who he's talking about? Do you know who he's talking about? He's not talking about the flesh. The person who makes the decision is the spirit to clap the flesh, even though the flesh will do it. Okay, let me put it like this. Do you know many of you are disobedient to what the spirit is saying because your flesh is refusing? It's too strong. It's stronger than you. A person who clamps themselves like this, it means the spirit is in charge. The spirit can tell the flesh, clap yourself. Wow, yeah, I'm the boss. Okay, all right, it looks like you're not hearing me. Are you hearing me? Your primary responsibility as a Christian is to make sure that you are the boss. When I say you are the boss, I mean your spirit. Your spirit must take charge, must take control in your life. Otherwise, you are going downstream. The flesh was there before even you were born again. It likes it. This world, it likes it. Nama, it likes to go down. The flesh does not want to work hard. Laziness is his friend, best friend. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Let's go down. We seem nicely. But for you to be able to overcome that, tell your neighbor again, say neighbor, you disobey God because your flesh is too strong. Because God, when he speaks to you through your spirit. When your spirit agrees, it does not matter how much the spirit shouts. If the spirit is weak, the flesh will never listen. It is the spirit that must relay the message to the flesh. Hello. When Paul says, it is talking about him as a spirit man. You are the spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. But you are a spirit. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you are a spirit. Say, you are a spirit. That's the real you. The real you does not look like you, by the way. The real you does not have this long hair and the complexion you have is different. Amen? Are you here? Tell your neighbor, the real you is very different. Amen? Are you still in the house of God? So, here's the thing. Paul says when he writes to the Galatians in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, okay? He says that walk in the flesh. Live in the spirit so that you do not, walk in the spirit so you do not what? You do not satisfy the what? The desires of the flesh. Live in the spirit. How do you live in the spirit? Now, people who live in the spirit are the people who spend their time in the word praying. That's how you grow. Hello. You feed your spirit. The solution to overcome the flesh is a strong spirit man. Hello? You know, I said on Wednesday, I gave this an example. I said, you know what? When you call somebody to help you, when they are bullying you, ne? At school or wherever, you want to call somebody with a big body and a big voice. Oh, can I talk to somebody? When you're calling somebody to help you, you're not going to go to some tiny little guy. Are you hearing me? You're going to look for somebody, say, okay, please come help me. These guys are giving me problems. I say, where are they? You must say, where are they? Where are they? Yeah. How about when I, sorry, brah. Amen? You don't call some tiny guy, where are they? They will even say, you undermine us, eh? Who is this? Who did you bring here? Are you here? The same with the spirit matters. Listen. The flesh bullies your life. The flesh will bully you. If you don't know the flesh, you're in trouble. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
The flesh is the one that will make you do things you don't want. Things that you will regret in life is the flesh. It's like a person who was drunk, wakes up the morning and says, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. Are you hearing me? So if you want to overcome the spirit, the power of the flesh, you have to do what? You have to live in the spirit. Say, neighbor, live in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many of you, you have the good heart not to do things that are wrong, but the power is too much against you. Amen. So, what is the solution? Grow. Say, neighbor, grow up. Grow up. Feed this man. Feed this man. You know, this is an example that I gave. For instance, if you, it's like when the spirit, when the flesh is carrying the spirit, literally the spirit, the flesh will carry the spirit to where it does not want to be. Hello? Are you hearing me? You don't want to be in that place, but the body will carry you there because it's in control. You will feel bad. Hallelujah. You will feel bad, you will repent, you will say, why? But then, you know what? The body will carry you screaming and kicking to the places where you don't want to be because it's a bully. Amen? Until your spirit is strong and big enough to stand on its feet and say, no, we are not going there. Otherwise, it will be bullied for the rest of your life. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? And it is on these grounds that you will qualify or not qualify for heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when we come through the gates of heaven, you know what's going to happen there? I talked about the identity of Christ the last week, isn't it? Yeah. You see, the scanners of heaven know Christ. They will scan Jesus. If you don't look like Jesus, you won't go in. Because the scanner is looking for the face of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you tried to swipe your card somewhere and then it refuses and you wonder, what's going on here? You look at the card. Is this the right card? Can I swipe again? You get a shock of your life. People are going to get shock of their lives because the scanner of heaven will not recognize them. It will decline them. Not authorized. Try another card. It's too late to try another card. Are you hearing what I'm telling you?
Yes.
So listen to me. Be worried. Look at your neighbor. Go blow out your life. Don't cruise. You know, nothing. When they say, let's go this way, you go. Let's go right, you go. Let's go left, you go. Oh, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Read Matthew. Read Matthew chapter 7. Read it.
Matthew chapter 7.
Verse 13. From verse 13. Now listen to what Jesus Christ says about this kingdom.
Verse 13.
Uh-huh.
Enter through the narrow gate.
Yes.
For the gate is wide.
Yes.
And the way is broad.
Yes.
That leads to destruction.
Hello. Go through a narrow gate. Look at your neighbor. Say a narrow gate. There, when you are overweight, you can't go through. Well, not physically, of course. Not physically, sorry. I'm not talking about physical things. Say, neighbor, we are spiritual here. We are spiritual. Say, neighbor, if you're overweight, you can't. It's narrow. It's for lean people. Amen. You see, this gate is very funny because fat people in the physical will go through, but but thin people in the physical won't go through. You say, what kind of a gate is this one? You see big people going through now easy, like there was a lot more space to spare.
Yes.
But you come, you're so thin, you can't even go through. You say, what kind of a gate is this one? It's a spiritual gate. It measures the spiritual weight. Amen. Are you here? There are things we must get rid of. A baggage that we carry that we won't take to the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen people in movies, and when I still used to watch movies, of course, not now. Don't have time, much time for that now. Amen. So anybody see, I've got a lot of time for movies. Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. So you see people that are being rescued and they have to carry a lot of bags and they're going through a narrow place and people are trying to go through their bags. and yet there is death coming. There's explosions. There is everything. But the person wants to bring everything. So unless you leave them, you will die with them. Unless you leave them, the other side says, leave these things. Amen. Are you still in the house? Look at your neighbor, say neighbor. The back it says, never. This too much weight. Too much weight. You know, to get rid of stuff. Am I talking to somebody here? When the Bible talks to you, it's telling you get rid of stuff. Every time you read the Bible, something is toppling, is falling from your life. Amen. The Bible is the best place for you to check yourself all the time. How much you weigh. Amen?
Amen.
But there is a gate that leads to destruction. They say this one is bigger. You come as you are. Bring anything you like. Bring all your bags. We don't care. Walk anyhow. Even a drunkard can go through that gate. You know, the drunkard cannot go through small gates. No, they will miss it all the time. Hello?
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody here? That one, even the drunkard won't miss the gate. They can go across. They will still go through. Because it's huge. Amen?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I don't want to go through the same gate where these people make it. No. Amen? People who live their life anyhow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One day, you're also using this gate. Because they expect you the other side. You've been saying church, about church. And they've been telling you, leave me alone with my alcohol, leave me. Now when they see you going through the same gate with them, say, hey, Luena. They will even think that place is actually a heaven. Because you are going there. Hello.
Amen.
Do you love Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Clap your hands for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. What's the point? You cannot live your life anyhow, go any places you want, talk to people anyhow, anything, and still think that you will make it through. Cut your weight down to the right size. You're too fat to. Amen. To love Jesus.
Amen.
Let's continue reading.
For the gate is wide and the way is broad.
Yes.
That leads to destruction.
Yeah.
And there are many who enter through
there it. There are no principles. Anything you like goes there. And people want to come to church and still live that way. It cannot happen. You make your choice. Amen. You make your choice. Let's continue reading.
Verse 14. For the gate is small.
Yeah.
And the way is narrow.
Yes.
That leads to life.
Yes.
And there are few who find it.
There are few who find it. Now listen to me, Christian children of God, that when you are here, we are giving you pointers where this gate is. We are giving you clues because you cannot find it easy. When you are here, we are showing you the way. Because it's not easy to find. You cannot guess it. Imo. We are giving you truths that are going to show you. You're going to find it. Amen. So every time we tell you things and we teach you things from the word of God, we are showing you where the gate is. Because many, unless you go into the word of God, you will not find it. Every principle we teach you is a way of that road. It's the way to that gate. The harder the assignment, the closer you, the more accurate is the direction. Can I say that again? The harder the assignment, the more accurate is the direction. Yes. The way of the Lord is hard. Amen. Hallelujah. But the results, but the fruit thereof are beautiful. But the choices we have to make are hard. They will leave you, They will leave you alone. They will leave you lonely, if you like. They will leave you without help. They will leave you without friends. They will leave you without nothing. The choices that you will make will lead you in a place where nobody wants to hear anything from you. Nobody wants to help you with anything. They will tell you, go to your God. You know you have made the right choices in life. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week I said, if you have more than two friends, there's something wrong with you. You remember the teaching? Yeah. Amen. Because nobody wants uncompromising friends. No one. Friends wants you when they tell you let's go, you say, okay, kiredi kilukile hariye. Those are friends that people want. Otherwise, nobody wants no one people around them. Amen. Continue reading. Let's read verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. Are you done with verse 14? Okay, let's go to verse 20.
Verse 20. Huh? So then you will know them by their fruits.
Okay. Now, it's talking about false prophets, false teachers. Okay, continue.
Verse 21. Uh-huh. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, mm-hmm. will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Not everyone who says what? Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Ask your neighbor, do you say Lord, Lord? Aring, aring, eh. So the Bible is talking about you. It says not all of you. To tell your neighbor, say, it says not all of you. I don't know what this means. Not all of you. Amen. We'll enter this. Amen. Yes. Being in church doesn't qualify us for anything. It just makes it possible for you. It's a good environment for you to develop. If you don't make use of it, then it's like any other club. That's why churches produce more witches than the world. Somebody is angry with me. I say churches produce more witches than the rest of the world. Because to say Lord, Lord doesn't entitle you to anything except to deceive people to relax that you are also with them, or overloy hand. You know, when people are relaxed, it's like when we're in church, we don't expect a thief, isn't it? So we leave our bags, we leave our cell phones. You will be shocked when they get lost in church. You say, ah. But elsewhere, you keep your cell phone, you hold on to your cell phone for dear life. But when you come to church, you just put it here. You don't expect a thief. But that's when sometimes thieves have a field day. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, baloi sometimes. Reabarata, reabahaka. Love you, sister. Let's a so, again, let's a so. Let's a so. I've seen you. Some of you, even though let's a so. I've watched you. Seen what the things that you do. You can see they're excited to see each other. But little does he know that this one is a witch. In the heart say, I'm going to kill you tomorrow. Yeah. Hello. But here's the thing. Love everybody. Pray for everybody. Don't worry. God will protect you. Even if they think like that, God will protect you. But you must not just assume because you are in church that will qualify you for anything. You are here like a school. You know, when you go to school and you don't do your homework, you don't write any tests, the fact that you have gone to class could not qualify you to move to the next one. The same thing with church. Same thing with church. We've come to school of God here. We progress accordingly as we do the assignment. I'm a teacher. Every time I preach, and I always say that I don't like preaching, and then people have got nothing to do after my preaching. What kind of a teacher am I who does not give homework? My message must leave you with something to do after this. Then we are good teachers. There's no way we're now carrying, you know, hey, I know everything. Never. Every time I come to church, I must find something for myself. Even when I'm preaching, I don't tell you. There's some places where I say amen to what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I can feel, Elena, I've got some work to do here. I'm not sitting here and pretending to be holier than thou. Amen. I'm also listening. There's another one. There's another me listening to this one that's preaching for myself. Are you listening to me? Amen. So not everybody who say, Lord, Lord, Jesus, Jesus, whatever you call it. Mudimu, mudimu, mure na mure. Who make it. Continue reading.
Not everyone. Verse 21.
Uh-huh.
Not everyone who says to me,
yes,
Lord, Lord,
yes,
will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter.
Clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. Who is that? Who does some homework? When we are preaching, we are telling you what the will of God is concerning your lives. That's all we are doing. But what are you going to do with what you're hearing is what will make a difference. He who does the will of the Father. Now, doing the will of the Father is not easy. Never. Otherwise, everybody would do it. You can never do the will of the Father without going against your own will. Can I say that again? You can never do the will of the Father without what? Doing first going through your own will. Amen? You will have to first overcome your own will or submit your own will or subject your own will before you can do that of the Father. There's a lot of dying to self. The things you like. Amen. You know, the work of God today suffers a lot because of people who don't want to believe God. Amen. If God is going to ask you to do something, it's not going to be easy, number one. Number two, it's going to be against your plans. No one in his rightful mind plans the plans of God. Oh, Jesus Christ. No one. They are not in our way of thinking. They are just, his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our, no one can plan for God. No one can say, these plans are God's plans, but they are your plans. No. You plan, but you still wait for him to approve. Sometimes he throws all your plans out. My plans, I would have been, Mona's booking, not a plan, not my plan at all. No. Even when I left here many years ago, I thought, okay, that's it. And God said, no, go back. Yeah, here I am, spoken. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
And every time my friends ask me, what are you doing down there? What must I tell them? Tell me, what must I tell them? What are you doing down there? They call it down here. They are up there. What are you doing down there? My colleagues and everybody else. Amen?
Amen.
But you see, I don't want to be thrown out one day. Just thrown out like that. Amen? Amen? But at the same time, I don't want when I have agree to do the work of the Lord, still not follow his ways. Amen. It's hard being a Christian. Say, neighbor, it's hard. Somebody's thinking, why didn't they tell me before, Mara? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're promised the Christianity of, what do you call these things? presents and gifts and all these nice things. No, that's not like that. It's hard work. Hard work. But it's fulfilling. There's one thing I can tell you, Bazalwane. The peace that you get. Amen. No money can buy. Amen. I say no money can buy. The peace on the inside. In the midst of your struggles, the peace ekamona. Wa utlwa lona mari wa tsa kitutse handle ka. La ka ntle ke sa dula handle mara ka re kitutse handle. I'm settled in my heart. Even though my body goes through all these things, but in my heart, I know my spirit is in the right place. What's the point of my flesh being in the right place, but my spirit in the wrong place? I'd rather take my flesh to the wrong place and my spirit be in the right place. Many people who want to tell you that they are happy, they are not happy. Many people will think they've made it in life, they are not happy. After they've run the race and done things in life, they still have a vacuum and they don't know how to fill it. They've accumulated everything in the world, but still, how not to eat that sansikuti? That's why sometimes some of them, you know, somebody was just telling me also about somebody very famous, making money and so on. He said, this person, and these are the people who don't want God. He said, you know what? This person cannot even go home. He sits and drinks in his office. Yeah. But these are the people, you look at them outside, say, oh, they are so successful. And you look at the people that you think they are struggling, but yet these people, when they sleep, they snore. On the other hand, there are people who cannot even fall asleep. The thing, sometimes we don't appreciate the real things in life. Real things in life. We appreciate fake. What is life in the end of the day? What is life? What is real life? There are some people who sell their soul for things like this because they don't know what is life. Yes. But when we tell you these things, we hope that you will embrace them and live by these principles. That is, you will not, you know, some people, you know, they'll move from one church to another. Yeah, ka khale tsa makereke ela mara ke bona re wetsala. Okay, what u batla bona wetsala? What do you want to see? You are looking for the wrong things. I've been going to this church, I don't see progress. You are looking for the wrong things. But before you came to this place, you forget that you could not even sleep. There was no peace in your house. Now those things are there. Now you're going out and looking for things that you think are the things that you need. Hallelujah. Amen. These are the things we are teaching you. Amen. Amen. And some people will tell you, man, we've been going to this church, but look at your life. Come try 1, 2, 3. Okay? Say neighbor, okay? Let's see. Let's see if what they are telling you, if it comes. I'm not saying it won't come. It might come. But what is it going to steal, take away from you? What is it going to replace in your life? What are you exchanging this for? Your life is now moving, but you are more miserable than ever before. But you thought your life was not moving because you judge things by the way of the world. You are a child of God. Are you still in the house?
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, are you listening?
I
don't want any of you to miss heaven. To batlhale kena one by one le nna ke ba ke ditse mola gaufi le modimo mola ke le shebile. Ntse le kena one by one. Ba ntse ba re pass, 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 pass. Mchini o ntse o re pass, pass. Ke sa bone one o re twi. Eh? Every time the machine does this, I look down and hope it's not one of my members. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say neighbor, let's make it to heaven.
It.
I want you to be my neighbor in heaven. We want to continue this church in heaven. Hallelujah. Maybe God will give me a chance to preach in heaven. I don't know. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Do you love Jesus?
Amen.
So, in heaven, the word of God is lived to perfection. There's not even a place to even preach it. Hallelujah. Everything is the word of God. That is what we call the will of God being done in heaven. It's the word of God in its perfection. Preaching is here on earth because it's imperfect. People are brought back to the will of God. But in heaven, we'll all be in the will of God. There will be no need for preaching. Continue reading. We're about to finish now.
Verse 22.
Uh-huh.
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?
Hey.
And hey. In your name?
Hey.
Cast out demons.
Jesus.
And in your name, perform many miracles.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
Verse 23.
No, wait a minute. This is serious, isn't it? I mean, I'm seeing myself. Didn't I prophesy? Didn't I do miracles? Didn't I heal the sick? Hey, they're talking about me there. I'm worried. Haven't I done these things? So these things don't qualify me for anything. Jesus. These are the things that give us shoulders when we do them. They give us respect amongst men. But to him, he said, what's this? Don't know this guy. Because of the power of God operating in my life, and people say, wow, they honor me, they respect me, they even fall before me. And God said, Jesus said, what's this? Amen. Because it is not those things that qualifies us. Never. Hallelujah. There's a story, you know, my wife likes sharing, where this man was being used of God and died and went to heaven. No, went to hell, apparently went to hell, something like that. And he wanted to know why people were being healed when he was praying, when God was not with him. And God said, I was doing it for those people because I saw their hearts. That is sad. That I may not be with God anymore. But when God looks at the hearts, he does it for them, not because of me. That's how people get lost. That's how we lose it as men of God. That's why we have to check. These things, when they happen, must make you check more, box yourself more. Perfect yourself more. Do yourself more. Because these are the things that will make you lose it. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
And he said, I prophesy. No, prophecy doesn't work seemingly. Doesn't bring you closer to God. Doesn't qualify you anything. Yeah, I heal the sick. Yeah. So what? Things we think they make, what's the right word in heaven? You think they're not qualifying, but something, the word that I want. They weigh something, they weigh something in heaven. Say, no, not that thing. Because my heart was not there. When I saw those things, I saw myself, not Jesus. I saw my power, not the power of God. But Jesus Christ did not care about that. He cared about their hearts. He knew that one day he will deal with me. Hopefully it won't be too late. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm worried. I want to make it to heaven. After all the hard work, hard work, because God always put my heart on the scale. Apart from my work, He put my heart on the scale. Amen. There are many men of God we hear now and then, they're in hell. And we get shocked all the time, but the word of God has said it. They said, I preached. They said, I did these miracles. I did this. And He said, I don't know you. It's not new. Why are we shocked? We just have to be concerned about our lives. Where do we stand? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, most importantly, children of God, one thing that I believe that will keep you grounded in life is to have a relationship with God. Apart from His works, apart from His power, apart from His grace, have a relationship with Him. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I was saying this during the week that, was this week or the other? You see, when I have to do something wrong, I must worry about not being caught, but what God will say. You know, some of us are happy to do things as long as we are not caught. Now, you must know you have fallen long time ago. If you are still doing things not to be caught, you have fallen. Hallelujah. Say neighbor, hallelujah. But you have to get to a point where you do things for the love, not even for the fear, for the love of God. You know, the fear of disappointing somebody you love. Amen. That's what must guide us and push us to the things or where we are supposed to be, not to be seen. Amen. As long as people don't discover, this is fine. Even if God sees it all the time. Now remember, I told them this during the week that the one thing that people don't know is that what we do in the spirit is seen in public, in the realm of the spirit. Because the spirit has got no barriers. Hello? So when you do something, even in your closet, even under the cover of darkness, you are doing it in public, in the realm of the spirit. Everybody can see it. When you steal, or nobody sees you, you are, what's the right way? It's foolishness, because in the spirit it's public. Why are you worried about the physical things? Because you think they are hidden. That's the foolishness of human beings. There's nothing you can do in secret. Hello? So when you are doing something or we patile in the spirit, everybody's watching you. Whoever can see in the spirit can see you. That's why prophets can tell you what you have done, because they've seen it. In the spirit, they're not hidden. So a spirit life is different from you can. It's foolishness to cover yourself in the cover of darkness. The spirit does not have darkness.
Amen.
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 I'm about to close now. Whatever we do, let us do it for the love of God, first of all. That will keep you grounded before the fear of God. Because the love first before the fear. If you fail the love, be caught by the fear. Not men, not people, but just God. If you go to the fear of men, then you have lost it. You have lost the plot. You are too far. Amen?
Amen.
Fear God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Fear God. Amen.
Amen.
Fear what?
God.
Let's finish now. Last scripture, then we are done.
Verse 22. Many will say to me on that day,
yes,
Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?
Yes.
And in your name cast out demons?
Yes.
And in your name perform many miracles?
Yes.
Verse 23.
Uh-huh.
And then I will declare to them,
yes,
I never knew you.
Ish.
Depart from me.
Ish.
You who practice lawlessness.
You know what he means by I never knew you? He says that I never had a relationship with you. Yes. Never had a relationship with you. You are doing the things that you are doing, but there was no relationship. So you are operating with a gift without a relationship. The gift without relationship. For the gift of God are without repentance. He will not take it back from you even when you fall out of relationship. You continue one way. Continue one way. When you have far left him behind. I don't want to be discarded one day. After all what I thought I've done. The Bible says our work will be tested in fire. What gives our work the weight is our heart. Not the work itself. That's why they will be tested in fire. Fire of heaven. It's a house, a fella, a fella. Hey, Batu. Babia, it's a cow, bonnet, a mood. Little on a. Ay, 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 ay. Yeah? Hallelujah. How fit are somebody on a Nasatsuba Halika Kirikin? Asna Lily beats. At like I'm rolling on our high, what? Oh, Mukanaya. Are you hearing me? And put it there, this load and this person, you know, not so famous, not so known, not so remembered, recognized, sits right there, back, at the back, comes with a small little thing to put it there. You say, ah, this one, even before the fire starts, will be gone. And then they put it there, it stands the fire. We prophets and apostles, he does not even want to look at us. That would be sad. Because there was no relationship. Amen. So, let's read the last one. Was it 23? Did you read 23? Can you read it again?
Verse 23. Uh-huh. And then I will declare to them.
Yes.
I never knew you.
I never knew you.
Depart from me.
Depart from you.
You who practice lawlessness.
Ish. Ish. Say ish. Ish. Say ish.
Ish.
Let's check ourselves. Okay, let's check ourselves. We mustn't deceive ourselves that we are working for God. Only to be disqualified at the end. Let's check ourselves. Check yourselves all the time. Beat yourself. Beat yourself all the time. Check yourself, you know. Can't be that people, honestly, people are relaxed at home now. They're watching TV. Really? Recently, but really? And you can't live on a miyakoan. Amen? Going to the same place, and yet you thought that you were a child of God. And God says, I don't know you. Sad. But as I said, it must be the fear, not the fear of hell, not the fear of being caught, but the love of God. If we can pass the test of love, we'll make it. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, if my wife is convinced that I love her, she does not have to get people to spy on me wherever I go. Are you here?
Amen.
Because in her heart, she knows he loves me. He can never love anybody else. Amen?
Amen.
Some men, how about it's like you could get the whole police force to follow them. It's true, isn't it? It's like you could have CCTV cameras everywhere. Some of them implanted in them. Tracker, that's it. Also tracker. That's a nice one. It's like you could also put tracker in them, because the love is in question. Any woman who's convinced that listen, women know. They know. Okay? They what?
They know
that they know that they know. Nothing can do that will change what they know. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if they know that this man loves me, they sleep, they snore. Can come back at 3 o'clock in the morning, they don't even worry about anything. They know. You are really coming from work. Hello?
Yes.
Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes.
But there are those women, they know that this one, I cannot trust. This one. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, send your angels.
To watch over you.
Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus Christ? I pray that when I've done all these things, I should not be discarded. I pray that I will not have two lives. Two lives. You know, there are people with a Sunday life and Monday to Saturday life. Let's have one life. Amen. There's life undercover, there's a life outside cover. Let's have one life. In that way, we'll qualify. God bless you.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.